been a fast-paced week for me. I have had some interesting situations during the week. And Monday evening going home, I live in Tranquility, but I work in Trenton. And so on Monday evening I was going home and going through 31 Flemington. As we got close to a light that changed from yellow to red, and I applied my brakes, a nice Volvo was going in front of me, and there was a huge truck that, you know, one of these trucks that they usually use for what they call the handyman that goes around, a lot of ladders, a lot of this, a lot of the other. I just felt something ram me in the back. And I ended up hitting the Volvo in front. And by the time I did that, I got a second one from the back. So my car, who God has allowed to run so nicely for 351,000 miles, it's on its last because I don't think it's worth investing in it. But it's still going. It still brought me here this morning. Just about the same time I received a phone call from the administrative assistant of the president asking me to do a presentation to the elders meeting this afternoon. And then, somewhere around that time, or close to that time, I received an invitation from your pastor. I saw a text message if I would preach today. I had opened today because of the elders' retreat that was planned to be for the whole weekend. And I had it open, so I said yes. Then he sent another text message to tell me that this is a special day. This is, what you call it, friend what? Friends of Hope. Friends of Hope, all right? So how many friends of hope do we have here today? Are all of us friends of hope? Praise the Lord. So I said, so what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to present a message of hope. Isn't that what we're all supposed to do as pastors? I want to say the gospel is always good news. I have been preaching for over four decades, and I always try to present a message of hope. But the context of the message today, the content of the message today is different. And you may be challenged. I was talking to your pastor's wife a little about the sermon. She said, I hope they don't get bored. I say, I hope so too. Because I want to present to you a message that is going to be a complement or supplement, whichever one you want to use, to what you have been hearing. My heart has been thrilled with the message we have received in songs. Messages that speaks to the great and awesome God we serve. Do we really realize the magnitude, the awesomeness of the God we worship? How big is your God? The Bible verse that I have chosen, quite possible you have never had that as your key Bible verse for a sermon before. And if you have, you are fortunate. I had the privilege. I just felt I should go to the Spanish class this morning. And I study my Sabbath school in English. But I felt to go to the Spanish class. And I was happy I did, because I met someone whose name is very close to mine. When I asked her her name, she said her name was Leonor. And I said, oh, I will not forget that. You know why? Because I've gotten to the stage in life where I have a memory to forget. But I said, my name is Leonel. So I will not forget it. Then later on, I found out that she was the mother of my friend Edwin. So I'm very happy to meet her. And I told her that Edwin is a good demonstration of a great mother. What do you say? I was privileged to meet Edwin many years ago, just after I came to the States, and he has demonstrated to be a great son of God. Honor to his mother. Praise God. And I am very thankful that they were able to put together that special music. How great is our God. Let us sing together. How great is our God. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we are here before you today to sing praises and glory to you. We are thrilled with your awesome love towards us. As we open your word today, open our hearts, open our minds, that we may comprehend not only how great you are, but how marvelous is your love towards us. May your spirit impact each heart with that love, that we may be transformed, because it is the love of God that constrains and transforms our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. When life gets tough and the roads get rough, whom do you trust? Do you trust yourself to make good decisions? Do you trust those who love you to support you? Or do you trust God to protect and to provide for you? Somebody may say, all the above. Praise the Lord. But I want to say, right from the beginning, that woe unto us who trust ourselves. And woe unto the one who trusts others. In fact, the wise man Solomon said we should not even put our absolute trust in the one that sleeps beside us. Why? Because my heart is wicked and will lead me into wicked paths. Those around me may love me and want the best for me, but they can still be mistaken. But we have a God that loves us and will never make a mistake, will never guide us wrong. When you and I are in problems, where do we look? Do we look to our personal resources? Or do we look to others around us? Or do we look up to the Almighty? When we are in difficulty, are you a pessimist or an optimist? Frederick Lombridge, English pastor and poet, wrote, two men looked out of the window of a prison of the prison bars. One saw mud and the other saw the stars. Anyone here today going through mud or going through a muddy water experience? It may be sickness. It may be disappointment. It may be persecution. It may be bills that are piled up. It may be a divorce or a very challenging situation in that very special relationship. It may even be the death of a loved one. You feel alone. You feel that nobody seems to care or to understand. The words of the Negro spiritual may reflect your feelings. Nobody knows my sorrows. Nobody knows the trouble I feel. Nobody knows my sorrows. Don't look to the mud. It's dark. It's mulky. Look up to the stars. They shine brightly. Look up to Him who created and sustained the stars. How big is your God? Is there a message of hope from the stars and beyond the stars for us today? I am not an astronomer, but I want to invite you to look at this verse found in Job. I don't know if you've heard, as I said, I don't know if you've heard a sermon from this verse before. Job 22. Job, what did I say? 22. And we are looking at verse 12. Job 22:12. And this is what my Bible says. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold the height of the stars. How high they are. I don't know how much Job knew about astronomy. But the question is, do you know how high the stars are? Or do you know how far they are away from you? Because we live in a world that is round, that is going upside down, and so we don't really know if we are up or down. Which is the closest star to Earth? Huh? The sun. How close is that? Yeah? Tons of miles. All right. 93 million miles. 93 million miles away from us. That's a lot of miles. You're right. It's a way out of this world. Powerful multi-million dollar radio telescope looks deep in space today. They tell us that Proxima Centauri, for instance, Centauri, is 258 trillion miles away. How far? 258 trillion miles away. Do I need to remind you that regardless of how far you may think you have gone, God is still very close to you? Isaiah 40. Verses 25 and 26. Isaiah 40. Verses 25 and 26. God asks the question. 40, 25, and 26. God says, to whom then will ye what? Liken me or compare me? Or shall I be what? Equal. Said the Holy One, lift up your eyes and high, and behold who hath created these things, that what? Bringeth out their host by number, he calleth them all by what? The greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and he faileth not. He just cannot fail. Not too long ago, scientists declared that we had 5,119 stars. With these powerful telescopes that I spoke to you about today, they estimate that there are 200 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy. I said that wrong. There are estimated 2 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy alone. They assure us that there are about 200 billion galaxies in the universe. God is an awesome God. He calls each one by name. Do I need to assure you today that he knows your name? How big is your God? The earth moves in its elliptic orbit around the sun at 67,000 miles per hour. That is about 588 million miles a year. Without, and this is the interesting thing, without the loss of 1,000th of a second in 8,000 years. That's what I call precision. How big is your God? Do I need to remind you that things can't be moving too fast in your life for him to catch up with you? And by the way, he is never late. As citizens in America, let's look at Psalm. Before I go to that, Psalm 19 is a verse that a book that we look at many times. Psalm 19 and verses 1 and onward says, Psalm 19, verse 1 says what? The heavens what? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament what? Show it his handiwork. Day unto day, utter his speech, night unto night. Show it what? Knowledge. And verse 4 says, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the what? End of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And this reminds me of an anecdote. Said Napoleon Bonaparte was in the Mediterranean Sea one night and overheard his soldiers debating the existence of God. And they finally concluded that God did not exist. Napoleon interjected, "Gentlemen, one question. Who made all these stars?" Little history. October 12, 1492, Christopher Columbus discovered what? America. Strange history. History is very interesting because America has nothing to do with Christopher Columbus. where the name America came from. America Vespucio. You see, Christopher Columbus left and traveled and got here, but he did not know where he was. And he went back to Spain and he still didn't know where he had been. So who really we have the name from is from another gentleman that came, America Vespucius, who realized that this was a new continent. It was not India. So the people from here, even though we still call them Indians, they are not Indians. All right? Now, 500 years later, 1492, would bring us to 1992. A great radio telescope, 1,000 feet across, was inaugurated in Puerto Rico as a memorial to the 500 years of the discovery of this country. In Mount Palomar, California, there is the Hubble telescope. These multi-million telescope looking out in yonder space brings us amazing information. As a pathfinder, I learned from I remember investing. Who's our adventure leader? You have an adventure club here? Yes? I was invested as a busy bee. I don't even know if that exists today again. I was invested as a busy bee when I was 8 years old. And way back then, we talked about the Little Dipper and the Big Dipper. Okay. According to Dr. Yakes, astronomer, he says there could be 1 billion galaxies, not stars. There could be 1 billion galaxies in the bowl of the Big Dipper alone. How big is our God? If you are away up in the air and you look down at a city like Newark or New York, the thousands of lights look like one big light. And so that is just an illustration. Hercules, that is 34,000 light years away from us, with 100,000 blazing orbs, each appear like a sparkling diamond arrayed against a velvet background. Moving closer with the telescope, every point of light is a giant sun. We conclude that there is no space between them. But if we move closer with the powerful telescope, then we find out that there is an average of 7 trillion miles between them. Mind-boggling. How great is our God? Orion, the nebula of Orion. They say it's the mystery of heaven. It appears like a glowing, shining light behind Herculean walls of ivory pearl. Walls studded with millions of diamond points. Each is a shining star. Betelgeuse, one of them, that star is 350 million miles in diameter. Any idea what's the diameter of our sun? 860,000 miles. If Betelgeuse was where our sun is, then it would block us from seeing the rest of the universe. How big is your God? Orion is what is called, is the sight of Orion is that brilliant men are left speechless, their pens inert, helpless to describe what they see. Giant telescope reveals that there is a cavern or a canyon of 19 trillion miles, a corridor of indescribable beauty, fit for kings. Truly, in all the universe, it is the wonder of wonders. Who made it? I suggest to you that that great canyon is our highway to heaven. It is the gateway that will take us to our eternal home. Most of the world's best scientists invest millions of dollars to put together 40,000 parts over years to build one satellite to send to space. And we admire them. We respect them. We stand in awe of them. A Costa Rican born by the name of Franklin Chan came to the States and became a part of NASA. One of his assignments, or the group that he was in, is to discover a fuel that is capable of moving these spaceship that we build to at least 1,000 times the speed they go by. Because the speed of our rockets today, no man could live long enough to go to the sun and come back. Which is our closest sun. If we respect these scientists for what they can do, think about what God has done and is doing. Genesis 1:1-3 reminds us, in the beginning what? God what? Created the heavens and what? And the earth. And I want to go to Psalm 33, verses 6-9. The word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Then verse 9 says, he spake and it was what? Done. He commanded and it what? Stood forth. Verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart in to all generations. How awesome is our God? A God that is capable of building all things. A God that is capable of sustaining all things. A God that is big enough to maintain a universe in space. How big is your God? Why worry when you can pray? Why worry when someone has already made all the provisions for you and for me? As some of, you know, the words of those songs that I mentioned earlier, that the team, the praise team, see? Earth has no what? Sorrow that heaven cannot heal. There is nothing in this world that poses a challenge to our God. There is nothing in your life that is unsolvable to Him. Why do we as Christians worry so much instead of trusting much more? As the little song says, why worry when you can pray? Trust Jesus. He will be your stay. Don't be like doubting Thomas. Why worry, worry, worry when you can pray? The story is told of a farmer who, back in those days, two of his horses fell in a pit. He had no equipment like we have today, and he was far away from neighbors. The pit was too deep, and he did not want to lose his horses. So he did his best as he thought, what can I do? Close by, he began to throw dirt mixed with rocks into the pit. And according to this story or legend, whatever it is, one horse, thinking of his situation, bowed his head and said, oh, he is burying me alive. He's throwing mud, dirt, and rocks on me. The other horse, every time the dirt, the pebbles, the rocks fell on him, he would shake them off and would trample them under his feet. Before long, he was out and the other was buried. The question is, am I a pessimist seeing the glass half empty? Or am I an optimist seeing that the glass is half full? How big is your God? Why worry when God has already worried and done everything for you and for me? Don't ever believe that whatever you are going through, God is throwing mud at you. And if He does, it's to raise you up. Trample it. They are not stumbling stones. They are building stones. Grow with your experience. God is always ready and willing to care for you. Let me share the words of this poem with you. When problems overwhelm you and you cannot see your way, find a quiet place and listen. Hear what Jesus has to say. There are times we overlook Him, times when we forget He's here, but He never will forsake us, for He holds us all most dear. Every single bit of worry, every single bit of grief, if unburdened to our Savior, will be blessed with sweet relief. Lord, O world of maddened men, seek the peace of God again in the humble faith that kneels, in the hallowed word that heals, in the hope that answers doubts, love that drives the darkness out. Frantic, frightened, foolish men, take God by His hand again, utter unknown. Are you willing to trust that awesome God? Are you willing to step out in faith? I am here today to emphasize again that we serve an awesome God. Amen. I am here to say that the God we serve is a big God. Oh, my Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is no name like what? No name like You. It is the name above all names. All of my days, I want to what? Praise You. the wonder of your mighty love. What a love. You know, sometimes even as Adventists, we make the mistake to believe that frightened people will make it to the kingdom. It is not the fear of hell that will lead us to salvation. It is the love of God that constrains and transforms. Today, I stand before you in profound gratitude that a God that is so great, a God that is so awesome, a God that is so powerful would look on someone like me and love me to the point that he would be willing to die for me. My heart cannot do anything but say, thank you, Lord. Please give me the grace to live for you. Would you join me today in a dedication prayer of consecration to this God that is always making you and I the priority of his existence? Do you know that God spends his time primarily to save you and I? All the rest of the universe praise and worship him. We are the only beings that have taken each one our own way, and God pursues us. Why? Not to chastise us, but to save us. He is like a hound. He has already taken up your smell and mine, and he is coming after us like he did after Adam. Where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Don't you know I am the only source of life for you? Please join me in a consecration prayer. Will you kneel with me before our God and our Maker? Almighty God, as we look into your word, we recognize how great you are. But Father, we don't want to just think about your greatness in the universe. We don't want to just think about your great creation and your awesome power to sustain the universe. We want to see you as our personal friend and savior. We want to experience the power of your transforming grace in our individual lives so that wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we say, may be constantly praise, glory, and honor to your name. Lord, you have been with us today. Continue to be with us. Continue to draw us to you and continue to prepare us for life eternal with you, because we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.